You're in a number of states, and I'll just mention them. Maybe you'll have a comment. Devon is now in Wyoming. Number of employees, wells, unexplored wells perhaps in Wyoming?
We don't have that many employees in Wyoming. It's an important state to us, but it's not a huge people count. I don't have well counts in mind.
Montana, is that big for you?
It's not that big. Bear Paw Arch is a small area that is mainly gas that's not competitive in today's low gas prices. Our major states are, of course, Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico, a little in Wyoming. We have exploration going on in Louisiana, in Ohio, and in Michigan, and in a variety of states where new opportunities are developing. And, of course, Canada has its own opportunities.
In Oklahoma, is there room for a lot more exploration in our state?
It's the interesting thing about technology. You look at the number of wells drilled in western Oklahoma, or you look at the number of wells drilled in the Permian Basin in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico, and you would have thought surely all the oil and gas there has been discovered. Or you can look at the Barnett Field, go back to that, a field that is literally under Fort Worth. You think of all the oil and gas people in Fort Worth and Dallas, and here's a field a stone's throw from their downtown. So all of these fields, as new technology comes on, are finding new ways to get oil and gas out of areas that you would have thought 5 or 10 years ago were fully depleted. And that'll happen again in the future.
So then are you still counting on technology that is not in use yet that would make it even easier or another way to attack this issue?
Well, absolutely. Particularly on the oil side, the amount of oil that is still left in fields that we don't know how to get out now.
Natural gas, there's a lot out there that hasn't been captured. But as consumers, we have to begin to use it in various ways. What do you see the future for natural gas?
The main future for natural gas short term is going to be in utilities. You know, most people don't really know where electricity comes from. They think, you know, the tooth fairy delivers it late at night. But 40-45% of our electricity is generated by coal. Another 20+% is generated by nuclear, 20% or so by natural gas. And a very large portion of the coal-fired plants in the country are 45, 40 years old, very inefficient, very polluting because of when they were built. And as those old plants reach the end of their economic life or have reached the end of their economic life, and a utility has a choice of spending several billion dollars adding scrubbers and trying to retrofit a plant that is inherently very old and near the end of its economic life, either doing that or building a new modern gas-fired plant that produces less than half the greenhouse gases, they're going for natural gas almost all the time. You can see that around the country. There's hardly a week and certainly a month that goes by when some utility somewhere doesn't announce that their next plans are to tear down this old coal-fired plant and build a new gas-fired plant.
There is this competition between coal and natural gas. We've seen ads in our newspapers promoting one or the other. Is there a place for coal as we talk about wind and solar?
Oh, absolutely. If you look out into the future, I mean, in the next 20, 30, 40 years, unless there is some new radical discovery that no one has in mind now, we are going to be using the same fuels that we're using now. The ratio may change a little bit. The ratio will shift in favor of natural gas because we have it, it's cheap, and for the first time ever, it's abundant. So coal will lose market share, but could we run this country entirely on natural gas? No way. We need coal, we need nuclear, we need natural gas, we need oil.
What about wind and solar? How do we look at that for the future?
Wind and solar are nice little niche fuels that have a very limited potential. First, with wind, wind has its own environmental problems in that these windmills whack a large number of migratory species out of the sky. In fact, there was one in Pennsylvania that I read about just a week or so ago that they found a lot of endangered bats that had been killed by one of these wind turbines. So they do have their environmental problems, and they're serious. But the main problem that wind has is it doesn't blow all the time. As we know here in Oklahoma, the wind comes and goes with great rapidity. So whenever you see a wind plant, you almost have to have an offsetting natural gas plant. Why natural gas? Because you need a fuel that, in the words of the utility people, is dispatchable, something you can turn on and off very quickly. And as we all know from our gas-fired stoves at home, you can crank up the heat from natural gas very quickly. So you need a power source that when it isn't blowing, which is most of the time, you're relying on some other fuel. So we don't really view wind as much of a competitive threat at all. There are only a few places that there's enough wind continually to justify an economic plant. And even then, they require significant federal subsidies to make them competitive.
Oil man T. Boone Pickens, who I interviewed elsewhere on this website, of course, has been a proponent of wind energy, capturing wind basically from Texas up through North Dakota. When you hear him talk about that, do you think that's viable?
Well, you must have talked to him a while ago because he's abandoned that. He sold a lot of those wind-fired plants and has shifted over to natural gas.
So he's no longer promoting wind?
Not very much, because the economics just don't work.
So he jumped on that idea before he figured out the economics of it, because he was heard on every network. He was out there promoting it.
He did. He promoted it quite a bit until he realized that it just doesn't work. Now, there's a role for wind, but if you're in the natural gas business, you don't feel threatened by it. Solar is even more serious economic problems, and that requires major subsidies for that to work. We use solar. There's a place for solar. We use solar panels to run some of our remote oil and natural gas operations where it's too remote to justify stringing an electrical wire. So solar, particularly in remote locations, has a real use.